Now, earlier, we were speaking with the Garda Representative Association about the new fines, on-the-spot fines, legislation for which is being drawn up by government. The Irish Council of Civil Liberties is expressing some concern about this, however. Its Executive Director is Liam Herrick. Liam, good morning.
Good morning, Gavin.
Thank you very much for joining us. So, tell us your own point of view, first of all.
Well, first of all, this new legislation to introduce a system of fines basically is a whole new approach to the policing of COVID, which is being rushed through the dial today. The approach for the last 6 months has been that there has been some criminal penalties there, there's been regulations, but the whole approach is based on the principle of last resort, that the guards are saying this is not ordinary crime, this is public health. The guards are trying to advise the public of how to comply with the guidelines. Mm. They do have regulations that people are flagrantly disobeying the rules, and there has been a very small number of prosecutions, but the whole approach is directed against punishing people. Now we seem to be shifting direction to a system of fines, and even though there's talks that people would get a second chance and so on, there's a complex set of penalties being introduced that covers a very wide range of areas, including people going to what are being called dwelling events or so-called house parties.
Yeah.
But also people can be fined for being in suspicion of being on their way to or from a house party, and also for going outside of their county or the 5 kilometre zones to which they're restricted.
But the point of these regulations is to protect public health. If there are people flagrantly disobeying them and thus endangering others as a result of their actions, do they not deserve to be fined?
Well, it's not. I don't think we should look at this, first of all, from the position of what people deserve or what people don't. We should look at it from the point of view of what we're trying to achieve. Right? We're in a very difficult situation, with a very difficult social problem here, where obviously the pandemic is in a difficult place at the moment. So if the government wants to introduce a measure, the first question is there any reasonable prospect that it's going to work? And what we know about systems of fines is that they're particularly ineffective in dealing with COVID. So we've seen the example in Britain, where they've had fines now for several months. They've been wholly ineffective in reducing the numbers. More than half of the fines have gone unpaid, which of course should resonate with us here, because we've had fines before in lots of areas of our law, and they've also proved to be ineffective for lots of other matters. So, you know, we know that fines are not a very effective tool. We also know that there's international research being led by NUI Galway, which says this is not the way to go to deal with COVID. And we know that the Garda Commissioner himself was against this initially. The guards are not looking for these powers. They don't want it. So then you have to ask yourself, why are we introducing something that's unlikely to work?
Well, one argument against what you have just said goes for all of those who are abiding by the rules. We talked about them earlier on, and the point was made, and not unfairly, that it's probably a very small number of incidents, but sometimes they get a lot of attention and the problem can feel bigger than it does. But so many people have said to me over the last few days, with regards to these restrictions, why should I do this when others aren't even being pulled up for not following the rules? Why should I follow them when there's no penalty for breaking them, basically? It, by bringing in the fines, could there be a broader impact in terms of encouraging people to stick the course?
I think, Gavin, you really are touching on probably the heart of the matter, because certainly some government ministers have made similar comments that this is the motivation, that those that are compliant want to see other people being punished. And, you know, that very well may be the case, but that's not going to do any good to anybody. You know, that might make some people feel a little bit better about themselves to see other people being punished, but it really drives us down the road of about recrimination, people reporting on their neighbours, trying to divide the good from the bad here. And, you know, this is a public health crisis. We can go down the road of blame and we can go down the road of stigmatising people. Already, I think we're facing some dangers around this. We've had a situation last weekend when people who test positive were being asked themselves to contact their close contacts. Yeah. And you can easily imagine, in a climate of recrimination, that people may be unwilling or reluctant to do so. So, yeah, it has a superficial appeal. It makes some people feel better. But is it actually going to influence the behaviour of the people that we want to reach? And the answer to that is probably no.
Okay, but if this doesn't, what would work?
Well, in a public health crisis, the most effective tool is clear communications with the public of the nature of the problem, why certain measures are being introduced, and what the government is trying to achieve. Now, we've actually done quite well on that at different points in the pandemic, but there's no doubt in the last couple of months, the communication and messaging from government, from NPHET, has been poor. It's been confusing. And I would think that that is the main area we wish to focus our resources on. I don't think there's a magic solution to it, but I do think that if there's certain sections of our population that are not hearing the message, that, you know, are not being convinced of what they need to do, maybe they need to be communicated with in a different way. And even in the last couple of weeks, the government talked about maybe having new communication approaches for young people or the sections of the population that don't watch the television news, don't read the newspapers. You know, I'm not saying it's a magic solution, but I think it's likely to be a more effective use of our resources than going down this road.
And I get where you're coming from. And so much of my Twitter feed over the last few days is nitpicking at the regulations and what about this and what about that. And to be quite frank, I find it frustrating because the general thrust of the regulations is to protect our health. And you know, that to me should be the overriding message at these times. But when people are going to second guess the minutiae of the regulations, the overarching communications is only going to get you so far.
Well, we ask, why are people picking out the anomalies that are there? You know, part of it is because many of the regulations have been poorly drafted and have had internal contradictions in them. And what's also happening in the Dáil today, which isn't getting an awful lot of notice, is the government's power to introduce regulations, the extraordinary regulations we've had since last April, over 20 regulations introduced, you know, touching on parts of our lives that we never thought would be policed or restricted, that this is up for renewal today in the Dáil. And originally when the powers were introduced for the Minister for Health, they were given what's called a sunset clause, that they were told that they would expire by the 9th of November and the Minister would have to come back to the Dáil if he wanted an extension. What they're doing today is they're rushing through that extension with effectively hardly any debate. So it shows that they're not really willing to learn from the last 8 months of regulations and some of the mistakes that they've made. You know, proposing, for example, that it would be a criminal offence not to keep a record of what food was served to somebody in a pub. You know, things like that. And if the government actually consulted with the Dáil or with other statutory bodies before it introduced some of these rules, including, for example, consulting with the guards, a lot of these problems and anomalies could be ironed out.
But we're in a crisis. Time is of the essence.
Well, you have to look at prioritisation. You know, we are now more than 7 months of regulating for COVID. So yes, time is of the essence, but the government can't say at this stage that it's dealing with a new topic. There was actually more consultation with statutory bodies and expert bodies at the beginning than there is now. And that's why some of these anomalies are emerging. Like, there's a lot of people out there that would love to be able to assist the government and iron these things out. The other point that you raised, Gavin, though, is about the overall message, you know, and like, you'll always have some anomalies, no matter what you do.
Of course,
it's a complicated
yes.
Yeah, people will tolerate anomalies. They'll quibble about certain rules if they trust the overall strategy, you know. And I think the big question from a lot of people at the moment is, what is the overall strategy? You know, it was simpler back in March. It was about flattening the curve. But the government itself isn't articulating at the moment what we're actually trying to achieve, you know. And I think that's why the public is, you know, increasingly, I think, sceptical about some of what's being done. And of course, that's a dangerous place. Like, we want to all be behind the government effort, but they could do a better job in explaining what we're all meant to be trying to do here.
And I don't disagree with any of that. But I think a lot of people will come back to the point that fines have to be and sanctions have to be an important element of if, as I said to you, for nothing else, showing that people have to keep the rules. I mean, no matter what message is put out, finally, Liam, there is a cohort of our society, I'm not going to name people, but we all know the sort of people I'm on about, who will just reject whatever is said. They will actively promote an agenda that directly goes against it.
We have decades of experience in Ireland, Gavin, that if there is that small cohort there, which there is, I accept that, that they're also the ones that are unlikely to really comply with fines, you know. And we have to look at the bigger picture here. Sometime this will all be over, hopefully for all of us soon. We'll still have a police service. We'll still have relationships between the police and the community. And the guards have been very cautious about their use of powers for the last 6 months because they are mindful of the long-term relationship between the community and the police. If we start getting police knocking on people's doors, policing private behaviour, and we're not just talking about huge house parties of hundreds of students going in and out of houses. The law here could criminalise an extended family meeting up for a family event. Do we want the guards, you know, sniffing around people's houses for those types of events? I think there's a very good argument why we don't.
Do you not trust them when they say, though, that they will be proportionate in their response, that fines will be a last resort?
Well, I mean, why design the law in the way that's being proposed? So, you know, we've actually had laws which have built in the last resort for the last 6 months, which have generally been the right approach, we feel. And I mean, up to now, no prosecution could go ahead without consultation with the DPP. The guards were being very careful to ensure that you didn't have the law applied differently in Clare than you did in Dublin, than you did in Donegal.
Sure.
That's all going to go out the window now with having a fixed fine system, which opens up all sorts of logistical problems for the guards that they don't want. So I think this is about gestures here rather than an effective measure.
Okay. Would love people's thoughts on it at home. Thank you very much, Liam, for articulating your view and for joining us on the programme this morning.
Good to talk to you, Gavin.
And to you. Take care. Liam Herrick of the Irish Council of Civil Liberties there.